Our triune God is bringing many sons and daughters to glory. It's what this abundant life is all about. So pray like your life depends on it.
Welcome to Living Hope with Pastor Philip Miller. I'm Pastor Larry McCarthy, and thank you for joining us today in our study in the book of Ephesians. Pastor Philip, you told us, pray like our lives depend upon it. That sounds awfully desperate to me. Is it really that desperate?
Yeah, well, you think about it. We depend on food. Our bodies depend on food, right, to live. We're desperate for food and drink and oxygen.
Amen.
And in the same way, our souls depend on God for their very life. We are as desperate for God as our bodies are desperate for food. We ought to be as desperate for God. But that's reality. That's actually where our spiritual vitality comes from. And so we are utterly dependent on Him for everything in life. He gives us life and breath and everything else. And all that God is giving us in Jesus Christ, unleashing the power of transformation in our lives through His Holy Spirit, all that sanctifying work, all that becoming in like Christ, all of that happens because of what He's doing. So prayer is the way we open ourselves up to receive the transforming work that only He can do in our lives. That abiding connection, that dwelling with God, inviting Him into our lives, it is a desperate thing. There is going to be no life, no transformation, no abundance unless God does that work. And so we are desperate. And so we come to Him empty and open, and we say, God, do what only You can do in my heart and my life today. We are desperate. Our lives depend on prayer and God responding to that prayer and giving His life-changing power to us.
All right, beloved, let's go now to the pulpit of the Moody Church. This is part 3 of the sermon, The Power of Prayer. We're in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21.
We love because He first loved us. And in loving one another, we discover the depth and height and width and breadth of His love for us. That's how it works. So that's the second request, that the love of God that we're rooted in would grow strong in this community of saints by the Spirit, in order that we might experience the multidimensional greatness of the love of Christ. Whew. So that's the second request. Now the third request draws on the imagery of maturation, 19b, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. When somebody grows up, we say they're full grown. They've filled out, right? They've reached fullness of maturity. In the very next paragraph, Paul's going to use this same imagery in chapter 4, verse 13, when he says, we will all attain, he's talking about the body of Christ, we will all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Same word, fullness. So this idea of fullness is not water pouring into a pot. This is fullness, as in full maturity, full growth. Paul has in mind here that we have grown up into ourselves and become like our Father, mature and complete, filled with His character, full of His likeness, filled by Him and fully like Him. This is in many ways the capstone prayer request that brings together the previous two requests. And the Father, we're asking that the Father would give us the Spirit to prepare the way for the Son to dwell in us in glory. And we're praying that the love that we're rooted in would grow strong in this community of saints, in order that we might experience the multidimensional greatness of the love of Christ. And both of those are headed toward this end, that we might be filled with all the fullness of God and be fully like Him forevermore. Now notice in these prayer requests, they're deeply triune. You see this? Paul is asking God the Father to strengthen us by God the Spirit in order that we might receive the indwelling love of God the Son, in order that all the fullness of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit might fill us so that we become fully like God. These prayer requests are that God would make us more like Him in order that we might have more of Him, in order that we might be like Him. This is amazing. It's a big cycle. The Father, the Son, and the Spirit are transforming us into the fullness of the triune God so that He can dwell in us and through us and with us forever. The Father, the Son, the Spirit are cultivating their abiding life in us. The Father, Son, and Spirit are cultivating their abiding life in us. Friends, you were made for God. You know that? You were made to come alive in relationship with God. And God in Jesus Christ wants to give you Himself. And in order to do that, He must first make you like Himself so that He can give you the fullness of Himself. Because only glory can behold glory. Only glory can hold glory. Only glory can house glory. It's why the Son redeemed you by His blood. It's why the Spirit is transforming you on the inside. It's why the Father is lavishing the Holy Spirit upon you to give you more of Jesus Christ so that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. God gives us Himself to make us like Himself so He can give us even more of Himself so that we will become just like Himself. You see that? In Him, we're becoming ourselves, the people we were always meant to be. Like our Father, by the power of the Spirit, growing in the love of the Son. We're becoming our own true selves. We're becoming children of God. Isn't that amazing? That's what this prayer request is all about. Now, I have kids, and I tell my kids, we're at home, and I'm teaching them table manners, okay? How many of you have fought this battle, right? It's relentless. Okay, I'm teaching them table manners. Why? I tell them, I'm trying to teach you table manners so I can take you to the finest restaurants in Chicago, and so you can be with me wherever I go and enjoy all the things that I enjoy. I am training you up to maturity so I can share my whole life with you forever. That's exactly what's going on here. Your Heavenly Father wants to share Himself and all of His joy with you forevermore. And you've got a lot of growing up to do between now and then. But that's good news. This is why God messes with you so much. It's because He loves you. And He wants to give you all of Himself forevermore. You have a lot of changing to do before you're ready, but the Holy Spirit is on the job. Amen? Amen. Such grace, such grace. So the basis of prayer, the grace of prayer, and then quickly, because we're running out of time, the confidence of prayer, the confidence of prayer. Friends, this prayer is so massive, it's so far-reaching, it's so glorious. How do we know we're not wasting our breath? Huh? How do we know we're not wasting our breath? I mean, breath. If I'm honest, I get so discouraged by my slow progress in walking with Jesus. I get so distressed by the persistence and intractability of my besetting sins, my wandering affections, my repeated failings, my half-hearted obedience. Sometimes I doubt if I'll ever make it. You know, have you ever felt that way? How can we have confidence in praying this prayer? Verse 20. Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly all than all that we ask or think, according to the power that is at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. He, friends, is able. He is more than able. Our God is able to do far more abundantly than anything we ask or imagine. It is his power that is at work in us. Who is that power? The power at work in us. He told us earlier, it's the Spirit. The Spirit is the one who's strengthening us with power. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is alive and at work and present in us, so that God the Father is now able to do everything. The Spirit is in us, and he is bringing glory every minute of every day to the church and to Christ Jesus. That's where the glory is being revealed, through the glory through the church in Jesus Christ throughout all generations, forever and ever. All of this belongs to the glory of our triune God, because we are a masterpiece of his grace. Philippians 1:6, I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion at the day of Christ Jesus. Will do it. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 and 24, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will do it. Jude 24 and 25, now unto him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before himself blameless in his presence with glory and great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory and majesty, dominion and authority before all time, now and forevermore. Amen. Wow. So where does our confidence lie in praying this prayer? It lies with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Our triune God is our hope now and forever. Our triune God is our hope now and forever. The Father's grace, the Spirit's power, the Son's love, our God is doing it all to the praise of his glory. And that glory is in the church and in Christ Jesus. And do you realize those two are quickly becoming one and the same thing? As Christ dwells in us, and as we are transformed into the image of Christ, the glory of the church and the glory of Christ Jesus become the same. This is the marriage, the bride of Christ, united with him in glory forever. One flesh in him. So the Father of glory gives us the Spirit of glory to make us sons and daughters of glory, in order that Christ's glory might fully dwell within us. It's from glory to glory, through glory, for glory. Friends, you were born for this. You were redeemed for this. You are being transformed for this, and you are destined for this glory. Our triune God is bringing many sons and daughters to glory. It's what this abundant life is all about. So pray like your life depends on it, because it does. Pray like your life depends upon it, because it does. Prayer is our lifeline to God and the abundant life we have in him. And our Father loves to give the Holy Spirit to those who ask. And the Spirit loves to make us strong so that we might have more of Christ. And Christ loves to give us all the fullness of God to fill us up, that we might be glorious like him, in order that he might take us wherever he goes, that we might be with him and enjoy all of this cosmic joy that God forever enjoys. Jesus prays, I pray that they might be with me, that they might see me in my glory. This is your destiny. So pray like your life depends upon it, because it does. Only the Father, Son, and Spirit can take us, this multi-ethnic family, and cultivate in us the abiding life of the triune God, so that we become glorious children of God. Our triune God is our only hope, now and forever. Now, to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Amen.
This is Living Hope with Pastor Philip Miller. I'm Pastor Larry McCarthy, and we're glad you're with us today as we explore the book of Ephesians and praying with confidence. Now, Pastor Miller, I'm sure some of our listeners are asking this question, so I'm going to ask it for them. What happens if I don't pray? If I just don't pray every day,
yeah.
What's the big deal?
So here's the reality. God wants to transform our lives. He wants to conform us to the image of Christ. That's why the Holy Spirit's in our life, urging us, giving us leading and promptings. And so the whole triune God is on the job, right? Mm. But he's not going to override us. It's not automatic. He's not going to force holiness upon an unwilling person.
Okay.
That's our God always honors our will and our surrender. And so prayer is, I think, prayer is the way we posture ourselves to receive the transforming work that God wants to do in our lives. In other words, it's our willingness. We invite God in. We say, God, please come. Teach me, train me, use me, transform me. There's an open, surrendered compliance to that kind of. So prayer is the way that I express that to God. And I say, I need you. Come change me. Come have your will in my life. I surrender. Use me, right? So there's a willingness of an openness that God's not going to override that. So all the potency and power, the transforming work that God intends for us is governed, like a governor on an engine that won't let the RPM go over a certain amount. There's a governor, a cap, a lid on our transformation that has to do with whether we're willing to go with it, whether we're willing to allow it, whether we're willing to walk with the Spirit, surrender to his leading, follow him, take his hand and walk with him in life. And the reality is we're pretty stubborn and we like doing things our own way. And we like to feel like we're all adequate. We've got it all figured out. And so prayerlessness is a symptom of a heart that's like, I got this.
Yes.
And that's our problem. That's pride. That's self-sufficiency. That's not acknowledging our spiritual desperation. And so the key here is a prayerful life is symptomatic of a heart that really knows how much it needs from God. And if we know how desperate we are, we're going to pray. Mm. We're going to pray. And so so we've got to pray. Prayer is, it's not about the words. It's about the posture. And the posture is how it works. That's how transformation works. God's going to do it all, but we've got to receive it.
So many layers to that, particularly in the sermon. You talk about discipline, and I like the illustration of the table manners that you bring to your children, that you need to correct what they're doing so that they'll be equipped and they'll be prepared. But for our listeners, can you help them to understand prayer, God's discipline? Mm-hmm. How are they connected?
Here's the reality. God wants to share all of himself, all of his life with us. Remember, we're destined for glory, to shine like the sun in the kingdom of our Father, to be conformed to the image of Christ, so that we might have the undiluted, glorious presence of God in our lives in every way, that we might be with him forever. Jesus says, I pray that they might be with me so that they might see my glory. And the reality is we have to grow and change so that we might fit and belong in that glorious setting and be able to receive all the glory of Christ. There's a lot of change that needs to happen in me. And so the reality is sometimes we can be like, well, God, why are you messing with me? Why are you always, you know, making me change and pointing out my sin, my faults? And like, why is this so hard? You know, why can't you just love me the way I am? You know? And my kids will say that, you know, like, why are you constantly correcting my fork and my, like, you're making me eat a certain way, sit up at the table. It's because I want to be able to take you to a restaurant and I want to be able to share all my life with you. So if we ask God, would just leave me alone. Just accept me the way I am. Stop messing with me. Don't make me be holy. Can you just leave me alone? We're asking for less love, not more.
Yeah.
And so the reality is God actually loves us and loves us enough. He loves us as we are, and he loves us enough to not leave us as we are, because his dreams for who we are and what we will be and the glories that are to come are far bigger than anything we could imagine. He knows our potential. He knows what his creative intentions are in our lives. He knows what that glory is going to look like, and he's not content until he sees it.
But Pastor, some of our listeners, they're not experiencing that confidence that they have perpetual sin in their life, and they're being bombarded, and they'll say, I prayed about it, but I'm not seeing an answer here, and they don't have confidence that God is hearing them. Hmm. What do we have for them?
Yeah. So I know how that feels. You know, we all have sin in our lives. We're never going to be perfect this side of glory until either Jesus returns or we die and go to heaven and receive glorification. Like, we're going to wrestle with sin. And there's brokenness, and that can be discouraging, you know, when you're like, oh man, I'm doing it again. That same old habit, the same old sin, the same old thing that I've been dealing with for years. Like, is it ever going to change? Am I ever going to break through? Mm-hmm. Right. I think the key is quick cycles. We're learning to not stay there as long. Like, when I mess up, I'm quickly repenting.
Amen.
I'm quickly confessing my sin. I'm running right back to my Father. I think the more we metabolize grace, the more we soften, and the faster those cycles go. The problem I think for a lot of us is we do the sin and then we go, oh, God didn't want to talk to me right now.
Mm.
And then we go long stints without reconciling and getting that right. And I think grace is teaching us to come back quickly. There's nothing we can do to outrun the love of God. Here's the other thing. Our confidence does not lie in our own performance. Our confidence lies in the finished work of Christ. And the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is alive and at work in our lives. And he who began a good work will continue it on to completion. Like, he is able. He has all the resources and he can get it done. So our confidence isn't looking at our pattern and our track record. Our confidence is in looking to Christ.
Thank you so much. Now, next time we'll talk about how believers grow together as a united witness for the gospel. And if you'd like to grow in your walk, in your witness for Christ, we have a resource for you. Pastor Erwin Lutzer, Pastor Emeritus of the Moody Church, has written a brand new book, Why Doesn't God Answer My Prayers? A Biblical Guide to God's Hidden Purposes. Now, do you feel like your prayer life is stuck in a rut? You come to God, you ask for health, you ask for money or help, and when the answer is slow or denied, you just feel let down. Well, this book invites you to bring your honest questions about unanswered prayer so you can truly know God's heart. What if our greatest need is God himself? Now, to begin your journey of moving beyond request to true intimacy today, be among the first to get Dr. Lutzer's book, Why Doesn't God Answer My Prayer? And for a donation of any amount, to request your copy, simply go to livinghopeoffer.com. Or call us at 1-800-215-5001. You can also write us at Moody Church Media, 1635 North LaSalle Drive, Chicago, 60614. Thanks for joining us for Living Hope, where you'll always find gospel truth for the journey of a lifetime. Living Hope is a production of Moody Church Media and is sponsored by The Moody Church.